This episode is brought to you by Brooklyn Botanic Garden, a stunning 52-acre garden in the heart of Brooklyn, open year-round. Learn more at bbg.org.
This week, Meat and Three is taking you to market and all over the world, from Newfoundland to Tunisia.
Well, a lot of us think of, you know, the British Empire trading things like spices and sugar and silk, but you write that it actually began with salt cod from Newfoundland.
There was a port closure in Tunisia, which was horrible. I mean, it was months, boats just sitting on the water waiting to go, and they couldn't go anywhere.
And we'll learn about how markets have changed, whether because of their customers or the climate.
A few years ago, something around the 10 years, it was totally different.
It almost manifests itself to almost smelling like an old fire pit. When you, when you put it out, it has that sort of charcoal-y smell to it. It's not good for wine.
Join us this week on Meat and Three for our global market tour. And don't forget to subscribe to Meat and Three wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is a special recording. It's August 6th, 2019. I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host at Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We've got some really cool things going on, mostly in the indie beer bar community in New York City. Good Beer Seal Awards just happened, and a number of those bars are here. They've been participating. This is the second summer they've made a Dominican-inspired lager. With Innerborough, and all the guests are here. It's a pretty interesting show. We're going to take it with Joel Suarez. He's going to introduce what the project is. Tell us more about the collaboration.
First and foremost, the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of any person, brand, or establishment I've been affiliated with in any way. I insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact anything I'm dead ass about. My name's Joel Suarez. So basically, 1 year ago, we brewed El Prez with Beer Wax, Bar 180, The Sampler, Uptown Beer Society, and Bronx Beer Hall with Interborough. The mission statement was to really make just a dope beer for the Dominican community around August, which is the big parade, and involve everyone that's represented, specialty craft beer, and been advocacy for the community and Dominican represented. So those bars were like the most specialty craft beer Dominican bars that I could think of. That were super influential to our community. So we got together and made a dry hop pilsner, which was super successful, best-selling lager, as Interborough noted, that they've made. And then we did a second one, Dead Prez. So the first one got a cease and desist from Presidente, as everybody knows, so we couldn't use that name again. So we made a Dead Prez as a, like, a, you know, it's, it means a lot of things. One being, like, deaf to corporate beer and, like, you know, deaf to having that kind of standard for Hispanics, like we don't only drink that. And then Not My Prez, which is,
and then Dead Prez was a Vienna lager.
Vienna lager. First was a dry hop pilsner for with Therian Dragon. Second was Vienna lager. It had a little Munich, Vienna malt, really good, light amber hue. And then the third, with everybody, we brought in three more brands. The second one, we brought in two more brands on the label, which was Bar 177, which was, congratulations, that opened up. Juan doing the buying.
Thank you
for both. And then we put Uptown Beer Society on the label. We completely forgot the first one. And then for the third one, we wanted to make Not My Prez as like not the beer that you're kind of used to. Like not the pilsner that we drink. Like Not My President, Not My Presidente, Not My Lager, whatever.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's a play on the name because you can't use that trademark.
So we added three more brands, Locksmith being in 190th Street and Broadway, which have always been advocates for the Dominican community as well. And they expanded to do specialty craft beer. So it's not only about being Dominican, it's about hiring Dominicans and also having specialty craft beer in your establishments. We added Harlem Hops, which hired Alex Munoz right here.
What up, y'all?
Hey, Alex.
She's also the auntie of my daughter. She also, her and I both got into craft beer because of Mino Munoz. Mina Munoz, shout out to Mina. She's at Bronx Ale House. She's been there for over a half a decade. And we also added to the collaboration, who was the third? Taproom 307, which hired me and many Dominicans throughout this year. So shout out to Mikey this year. Mickey, who's representing Tap Room 307, and Roberta, which was my first, her and Haley, mentors, which were females, her being Brazilian. She was the first woman of color that I ever met. So she inspired me a lot. She taught me about business. She started off as a hostess with the same partners that she has today and became a server, bartender, manager. So me hearing that story and also me hearing like how James started at Bronx Ale House, he was a bar back at George Keeley and became a manager, a bartender, whatever, and then became an owner of Bronx Ale House. Like their two stories set like inspired me to like do the same one day.
No, so. And it's a great story. And, you know, we did a show in January about the Dead Prez release. Let's go around the room. Each person here is from a different beer bar. Just give us your quick story, introduce yourselves, and say what this collaboration means to you. Juan.
My name is Juan. I represent Washington Heights, two bar of the height, about 180, about 177. Thank Jimmy for the award. Shout out to all the people uptown that always support the project. Mikey, you know I love you. So, like you said, you know, one day he called me and put me on the map on these collaborations. I was really happy to do it. Back in the day, we only had one bar, so now we had two bars in the same neighborhood. And we're making the movie. I don't know if you guys see it in the social media, but people talking about it, which is positive. Always positive. It doesn't matter how they you know, spread themselves. This is a free country, so anybody have an opinion?
No, it's getting a lot of attention. Chris?
Hello, everyone. Chris Maestro, the founder and owner of Beer Wax in Brooklyn. I've been drinking lots of terrible beer for a long time in my life. Presidente, as someone who's half Dominican, is like a cornerstone of our culture. You know, you got young kids that are taking little sips of it. So it's really something that it's like in your blood. So to, you know, to make something that is a craft beer equivalent that people can be proud of. And I really give props to Joel and Innerborough for really pushing this through and in being inclusive of other bars. It's really been amazing. And this is the third iteration of this and something that we're very proud of. I'm going to DR for the second time in two consecutive years. With a four-pack of this to share with some primos of mine and take some good shots over there. And just to feel like, wow, this is something that we did together. And just to really be in DR with a can in my hand and to like really like, holy shit, we made this happen.
Great.
Hi, my name is Mickey. I'm representing Taproom 307. As Joel said, Roberto, our Brazilian owner, it's a great story. She came from New York and came basically from nothing and now owns a bar. When he reached out about the collab, I knew it was something she'd be definitely into. So I immediately signed us up for it and got it started. I really tried to get some of the Dominican ladies that work with us, some of the strong ladies like Lucy, Leticia, Amy, but unfortunately,
shout out.
They were all busy because they're hustling. Mm. So
yeah, they used to run circles around me. I used to get roasted.
But we get a tap from 307, and congrats. Everyone in this room, all the bars are part of the Good Beer Seal. Congratulations, you guys. That was a big part of the summer.
Thank you. Yeah.
And then Alex, introduce yourself because you're a big story too.
Hi, I'm Alex Munoz, and I'm representing Harlem Hops. Really, the way that I got introduced to craft beer was through my sister, Mina Munoz, who works at the Bronx Ale House, as Joel mentioned earlier, and we used to have tastings of just different beers. And I was just a youngin', like I didn't really, know that craft beer would take off in such a way when I was tasting it as a teenager. But currently,
not at any of our places.
Currently, I work at Harlem Hops as a bartender, and I'm also the social media manager for our Instagram page. And I think that this beer, it means a lot in several ways in terms of how it's pushing the culture in the United States, craft beer culture in the United States in general, but also how it's translated back on, that island back in DR and Haiti and the Caribbean, and what it means to all of us as people from the African diaspora to be successful on the mainland, as people would call it, and to be able to collaborate with different bars that have people of color working there and their establishments, but also are owned by people of color. And I think that it's a super exciting time for, you know, just beer in general. And I'm just, I feel very grateful to be a part of it and to see that there's people that look like me and that know the same culture that I grew up with, making beer.
Great. Well, so I got everybody, and now Kate from Innerborough, just give us a brief intro about this collaboration and what role you play in making collaborations like this. And this is a pretty unique project, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
most breweries don't do this. Most bars don't come together and do a project like this successfully.
Yeah, it's definitely unique. When Joelle came to us about a year ago, it was sort of 100% we were in. It's awesome to be able to not only be part of this and what you guys are doing, but to be able to give you a platform to do it.
And what about the beer?
Oh.
I mean, I like the beer. Tell me what the beer is. And I want everyone to say their honest opinion of the beer.
This beer is brewed with Pilsner malt and flaked corn. And then it's traditional noble hops in the kettle, Tet and Hallertau, and then dry hopped with Barber Rouge. Barber Rouge gives it like a nice berry aroma. I don't know if you guys get that, but yeah, it's
yeah. And this year it's crystal clear because we want our mission statement to be transparent.
Transparent.
Hey. So it's not a Keller Pilsner.
So when you guys plan this beer, so I know Jesse Ferguson is a brewer at Innerborough, and I love his beers. What's the process? How do you guys, you know, decide what beer to make, the style? Joel, tell us how you worked on this project.
Well,
in terms of the beer.
The first was a no-brainer. It was like, what can we make this for everybody to enjoy? And I remember my first beers being Weinstephaner Hefeweizen and Gaffel Kolsch and Radeberger and then Left Hand Milkstout Sam Smith Oatmeal, stuff like that. So we definitely wanted a lager to not only represent and be like an introduction for people, but it is what people drink in the Caribbean. It's always a light lager, a Pilsner, and like some type of amber lager. So the first one was, you know, influenced by what people know, which is Presidente. The second one was influenced by people know, like Dos Equis, Sam, whatever else. And then this is just the first one again, but we just switched up the hops a little bit. This one has more of a limey, reminds me of like a better like lime lager. It's clear this time. It's not a Keller Pils. It's not unfiltered. So it's like even more chuggable. And it's just great. All day, every day, barbecues, wherever.
The second one, Jesse and I went up to the Bronx with Joelle, and we drank a bunch of beers and sort of picked what flavor profiles we wanted.
Yeah.
Was that the second one?
Yeah, Dead Prez. Before we made Dead Prez, I took Caitlin and Jesse up to the Bronx. I made them walk from the train down 188th Street through the hood all the way up to Arthur Ave.
Ooh, New York
and,
City.
I popped into Annantoni's, which is 100% craft beer. Now, because of me, when I was working for SKI, I was tackling every beer down until the last one, which was Peroni. And they were like, yeah, Forced, which is like a northern craft lager from but the top of Italy, almost Germany, which uses all fresh alpine water. They're like, this is surpassing the sales of Peroni. We don't need that anymore. He's like, it's the same thing. You know, the same people that were telling me, who's going to drink that? You got to have Peroni. We're saying it's better. Like, you know what I'm saying? I changed Arthur Ave in that way because it was only Bronx beer.
You're more Italian than the Italians.
Yeah. I love them. Shout out to Little Italy. So we went there and my boy Danny, which works there, Mexican, he gave me a few like double box and amber lagers. And then we went to Bronx Beer Hall and just kind of tasted. And we were like, we don't want it to be too caramelized. We don't want it to be too light. We want something that's crisp, but also has that like caramel malt, that little Munich vibe, but easy to drink and throw back. Cause it was going to be winter. It was released in like late January, early February.
So when did you realize that this should be a collaboration with other beer bars? Tell me the mission behind that. Maybe Chris wants to say how he got involved.
I mean, I've known Joelle for a long time, so when I got the call, I said, yes, we are in, and it just made sense. But, this third iteration in terms of, because I know Jimmy asked us to talk a little bit about the actual beer itself, but the one thing that I want to talk about and ask Caitlin about is the corn and the presence of corn. And was corn around with the other two versions of this beer? Was it used at all?
I think so. But it definitely lightens up the body, and that's why it's
in
this
and there's
one.
Like a slight sweetness that I feel like it's a corn sweetness that makes it very, like Joel said, that you can definitely throw a bunch of these back. But it's a great, great lager. I think it's something that hopefully when we roll out this week in all the bars, most of us are going to actually start selling the cans. It's going to just fly off the shelves.
Yeah, I just found an email, Chris, from like back in the day of us sending back each other business plans to start this Dominican brewery.
Yes.
So we wanted to start a brewery like 6 years ago. And I found, I was going through my emails because I was looking for beats that
he sent me
along, and I couldn't find the beats. And I found this email and I was like, yo, we literally had a plan. Like we were talking about this and like 6 years ago.
Talking about flavors and incorporating... different like fruits that are definitely much more, you know, Caribbean fruits.
Yeah,
and this was definitely a long time back.
Yeah,
over half. On the topic of just, you know, Caribbean fruits and those flavors, I think that it's super important to just like be able to give to the community something that they're familiar with, a flavor that they're familiar with that's crafted with love and crafted by people who care for the product that they're being, you know, that they're putting out. So in terms of, you know, beers with flavors like guava, you have beers with chinola, which is passion fruit. You have beers with pineapple and mango. And all of these flavors are familiar within the Caribbean community particularly, but also in the African diaspora. And they kind of have been appropriated in a way that don't really fit in. And I want to see more of the representation from people who understand those flavors and can give it to the community.
Absolutely, and that's why we're brewing the fruits of our labor with Highway Manor, which is like all these fruits are coming from most likely 100% the Caribbean, people of color picking them. All the agriculture is coming from this, and then it's not being used by us. So we already have a sour conditioning in Pennsylvania. Mm. We're just looking to kind of source what is called limoncillos or canepas, which are impossible to find. Luckily, thank God, because somebody would have did it before us.
Yeah.
So we're trying to source these fruits and tamarinds and other fruits that we want to put into this oaked aged sour. It's not kettled. It's actually conditioning right now.
Chris, you're getting excited about that.
I mean,
somebody find the connect.
I don't know the fruits, so.
Yeah,
But just because you like the fruits, do you want them in beer? That's another question.
A lot of times you may find, let's say I'm not a big fan of IPAs that are heavily fruited with actual citrus and actual fruit. But there are ways that you can really play with these flavors that are in a subtle way that really makes sense. Especially if we're talking about trying to really get other folks that are not just the craft beer consumer into these beers, into craft beer, what are ways that we can introduce folks? And I think this is definitely one way.
Right.
Alex, go
ahead. I think that it's important to, introduce craft beer in that way, something that's familiar, something that you can say, yo, like you had a Pilsner when you were, like you said, your mother gave you a little tapita of Presidente or Corona to taste it when you were small. Mm-hmm. And or you know the taste of guava and you're like, this is incorporated into this beer in a subtle way, why don't you try it? And I've actually had that experience at Harlem Hops with the fruited IPAs that we do feature on our taps. People would gravitate more towards those flavors because they see it written on the board and they're like, hey, what's that coconut IPA that you have there that's infused with, you know, pineapple? Or what's that guava infused IPA? I want to try that. And then that's how you get the community to you know, be more open to this type of scene.
Absolutely. There was one instance where a friend that hates sours was sitting at my bar and I had a pack of Sour Patch. And I told her, take a Sour Patch and then chug this. And I forget what sour was, right? And she started chewing the Sour Patch and she drank the beer and she was like, oh my God, I understand now. And she loved sours after that. And it was just like fun. Like when I first had sours, it reminded me of chewing on a canepa or opening up a passion fruit when I was on my grandfather's land, rest in peace, and just feeling that sourness on my palate. So it's about, yes, finding how to identify with beer through people and through flavors.
Actually, the way I met Joel originally was you had sent an email to Leticia and we did the Fifth Hammer collaboration for the Biscocho. Mm. And I remember I had to ask Lucy because I'm originally from Louisiana, so I did not grow up with this culture. And I was like, yo, what's a Biscocho? And so when we had the brewery, I remember you brought the cakes and we were actually eating. Yeah. I was taking pictures, sending it to her. She's like, oh my God, bring me one, you know.
Yeah, I actually brought, like, instead of buying a cake from like whatever bakery, I went to my Nunez, which is on the corner of DeKalb, Dominican spot. And I said, let me get all of that. And I took their dulce de leche, their tres leches, their guava, their pineapple, all the cakes to Fifth Hammer and shared with everyone. Really good time.
That sounds good. I got to start coming to your meetings.
Culture.
And I want to hear Juan. So Juan, tell us. You got bar 177, 180. Tell us about your. I love your story. You're one of my favorite guests.
And your JFK bar, too.
And congratulations on Good Beer Seal. So tell us what's going on. Come on.
Well, I don't want to say. I'm tired today. Well, like I say, we're in Washington Heights. You know, we run into a bar. What we do with this beer is to get people together, the minority, together and see how we grew up, you know, because back in the day, we Hispanic and black people was not in this map, in this beer category. So, like, we started from the bottom, like Andre say. Like, we started learning and get it better and better. And now, you know, we have a little bit of knowledge of what is of this beer industry, how they work, how they operate it, and who they own by. And the important thing is that we work not only with brewer, but like we family-owned brewer, like a small brewer, like Interboro, which is they do an amazing job on those years that they've been open, do a lot of collaboration not only with bars, which they is the leader on that, you know, in the market. They also brew beer with a lot of different brewer and supermarket. And then, you know, I see last night, they do a beer collaboration with the Chico. You know, it's amazing. They not only pick people that is up there in the market, they also do collaboration with a lot of not color people and a minority, so which is... I give it an applause for that. Yeah.
Joel, when you wanted to do this, here's Matt also, Matt from Uptown Beer Society. Yes. Joel, when you wanted to do this project, was Interboro the first brewery you talked to, or were there other breweries, you don't have to name them, but were other breweries not receptive to this? I mean, I can't see why a brewery would not
want to
do this.
Definitely. I had several conversations. I won't mention any names because I'm always yelled at for targeting people, blah, blah, blah. I did reach out to a few breweries, and their whole thing was, what other bar or restaurant would buy a beer that had another bar or restaurant's name on it? And I was like, I got a lot of friends in the industry that would support. And then I was like, wait, I was just thinking about my 18 uncles and aunts, Dominican. I was like, let's get to get like strength and numbers. I'm gonna prove to them that if I ever get a collaboration, I'm gonna prove that we can sell a pallet or we could get rid of beer together collectively around our neighborhoods, around bars that are literally underrated and are so busy instead of getting these little write-ups or whatever, are so busy in the community, hands-on, doing stuff for people, hiring people of color. I wanted these bars to be highlighted. That's why I was very adamant when I gave you that list for the Good Beer Seal, that good beer doesn't only have to be the liquid, it has to be the spirit. When they see that seal, they know this bar is official. They hire women, they respect women, they hire people of color, they're inclusive, they carry specialty craft beer, like we said, 80%, 20% import, and they do community funding, all types of stuff like that. So we're looking close to add more, but these attributes have to be, you know, listed in each bar so we know when we see that seal.
Great. Caitlin, just tell us a little bit about Interboro's values and why you guys were part of this project, and just a little bit, just to throw yourselves in there.
Yeah, I mean, when Joel first came to Jesse, and I don't even know if I was working there yet, but I came on probably in like the next week or two because I was part of the whole beer rolling out. But this is what Interboro is all about. Of course, we're about making good beer and making the best beer possible, but also being inclusive and promoting diversity, and there's no reason not to be part of this.
Great. And Alex, to me, you're a new face on the scene, new voice, but Harlem Hops, again, congratulations.
Yes,
for
shout
a good
out Harlem
seal.
Hops. But 2268 Adam Clayton Powell and 7th Ave.
Before the show, you were talking a little bit about, you know, diversity, community, and a controversy about this beer. So let's go.
Yes. So
she's ready.
Before I get into that, I just want to kind of skate on what Joel was saying. I think it's important to take the snobbery out of craft beer. I think it's important to know that, like Joel said, beer is about spirit. It's about sharing your experiences with other people and having flavors go and fuel that. And for you to be able to share a beer with somebody and say, yo, like, what do you think these tasting notes are to you, to your palate? Like, how do you feel about this beer?
Great. And then Matt, introduce yourself.
I agree. How's it going, guys? This is Matt from Uptown Beer Society and the Sampler. Yeah, beer is a humble drink. It's it's for the high class, it's for the poor, it's for the middle class, it's for everyone. So it's a really good common ground, a good way for people to connect, regardless of who you are, where you come from, and what your background is.
So
I just wanted to interject real quick one thing about when I first got Joel's email, and the reason I knew Roberto would be so into it is that you're bringing that sense of community, which is so important in the craft industry, celebrating women of color, women in the industry. As soon as I read that, I was like, no brainer, Roberto's going to be all over this, And I just think it's great that, like, you're getting that community all around in the brewing industry.
I mean, was there any controversy about this?
I think the controversy, this is Chris, the controversy,
I mean, it's not my press,
about,
but I get it. To me, this is
I think people were reading into the name, not my press, because that's typically a slogan that folks that who don't like Agent Orange put out there, who don't really recognize someone of his very low stature to have the highest office in the land. But it really, as Joel mentioned, it's, again, the third iteration of a series of beers about Presidente. So it's not my prez, but a lot of people took that and twisted it in different ways and were saying, oh, this is too edgy, I'm not going to buy any more Innerboro beer and all this other random crazy stuff. So it's just very interesting because we're in a very particular climate right now in this juncture of our history in this country.
So this is Brandon. You had to come up with a catchy name because you couldn't call it El Prez anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not El Presidente.
The ideas and most of like the piggybacking ideas come from Matt too. He's creative as hell when it comes to like the creative drive of all these collaborations. And that was one of the ideas. We were in between Por Mi Gente and this. So on the back of the can you see Por Mi Gente, For Mi People. For My People, which sounds like, another Caribbean brand of beer that we all know. And
wait, which one's that?
Por Mi Gente.
I don't know.
President.
Oh, okay.
So when Interboro posted the photo on their page, no disrespect to anybody, of course, three white males had with like 86 followers and private profiles had to comment.
And now less than 86.
Like had to comment. There was one guy that said, spend $1,000 in the day, not going back. And somebody replied, that was a weird flex, but okay. Like people like were writing like, oh, too edgy, won't buy, like Chris said, or a political beer from a dying brewery. Like, what are you talking about? This is the third.
When we pitched the beer, we did have some idea that it was going to cause a little controversy. And I'm okay with people showing their true colors and feeling, bothered by the name, because I think that reflects more on the person than it does the actual, mission statement behind the name, My Prez, not My Prez.
Let's talk about the label. I think the label's brilliant. To me, it's like it's got the colors of Dominican Republic, which are also the colors of the United States.
Yeah.
And Tell me about it, Matt.
It's definitely a wink to the current climate of what's going on right now. But it is, absolutely a spinoff of the Presidente, Dominican lager that we all know. But
and that mission statement isn't coming from Interboro. It's coming from the bars, a part of the, we grew up on Presidente and we wanted to do that, so we don't want anything to fall on the brewery that helped us collaborate.
But we definitely stand behind it.
Hey.
However you want to interpret it.
Word up.
Shout out to Interboro, by the way.
Risking it all.
Chris, come on. He's bouncing over there.
No. Just,
You've been on the show like three times in the last couple of months.
I'm a former history teacher, and so this kind of stuff really excites me. But no, it's very similar in terms of the fact that potentially people are throwing stones at a collaboration between bars that are owned by people of color and the same people that are also upset that it's called Not My Prez. So it's just interesting that, that this, out of all three iterations of the beer, was the one that really caused a lot of people to be upset or to troll online.
Well, I think that it has a lot to do with people inserting their own prejudices and biases onto something that, yes, can merit, like should merit your bias, but also you are showing that you're bothered, clearly bothered by something because it has red, white, and blue on it, because it says not my prez, because the president is a bigot, because he spews racism and hate across nations, mm-hmm. plural. And I think that people are fueled by just seeing this color, these colors on a can of beer that they think that this brewery is going to support them. And it's just, that's not the fact. The fact of it is that it's a collective of people of color who are brewing a beer that is representative of the culture that we grew up with.
I read the comment, the guy said, like, that's why they made cheap beer. But it's nothing to do with the beer that we all collab. Like, they do great beer. So if you used to spend $1,000 in that brewery, so you give it some recognition there. So they do their job on the other side.
Exactly.
It's just because it's bothering you because you see the beer or the color. Like, and then you wanted to throw all that on the table. I understand you don't like this beer. Well, you never tried it before, but they do this, you know, their job. You know,
for me personally, I would be talking more about the beer style. That's all. Do you like a corn lager? I'd like, well, why don't you guys do a rice lager? I don't know.
It's because people want to extract the negativity out of a project always instead of seeing what the actual mission statement is.
We are people of color. We are Dominicans, Caribbeans, Puerto Ricans, minorities. But this beer is as American as it gets. You know, regardless of
you guys like, I mean, you guys are all Americans, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm born and raised here in the Bronx.
You're citizens.
City.
Are you voting?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
absolutely, we're voting, and this is as American as it gets. You know, like a group of you know young minorities in New York City.
We have a voice,
exactly.
So good, and you know, 2020 is the census, kids. Yeah, just so you know, that's another show.
So we might not be saying minority anymore. So just
majority.
Yeah.
Also,
check off black when you do your census, because if you're Caribbean, you're black.
Also, big round of applause for Interboro, because a lot of breweries wouldn't take a risk like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know what's funny to me, being in New York City, I don't even think that was a risk. To me, this is like a great beer with great branding and a play on a brand that you guys know. So I find it interesting that actually it did cause, I never thought it was going to be a controversy. I thought it was a fun name. Caitlin?
I think we sort of knew this was going to be, the name is not my prez, and people are going to interpret things how they are. And also, I think for us, it's about the bigger picture. Like, yes, we're doing this, we're making this beer, we've made it 3 times now, but it's looking at everything as a whole, and why people would make that correlation to thinking what the people who said they're no longer going to support Interboro were thinking that name meant. And it's all sort of kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, like, the people who are obviously getting upset about this just must be in a little bubble. Because if you're in New York, and if you're traveling anywhere in New York, like, it's as diverse as it gets, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I find it kind of odd when I hear people getting upset about this kind of thing. Because I'm like, do you not go around the different boroughs? You know, like...
Also, shout outs to Worst Beer Blog. Follow them because they're the ones with the 15.5K following that reposted the photo of the beer and our conversation, which led to more conversation, more trolling, and more roasts. So shout outs to them.
I will say, though, as much controversy as this beer may have stirred up, most of the people got it. I will say about like 85% of the comments were like on the right side of things, and they got, you know, where we were coming from and what the beer was about.
Great. Hold on a second. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a minute on Beer Sessions Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Brooklyn Botanic Garden, a stunning 52-acre garden in the heart of Brooklyn featuring spectacular plant displays year-round. Make the most of the last days of summer on Thursday, August 22nd at Brooklyn Botanic Gardens Beer and Bocce Benefit, a one-of-a-kind garden party featuring lawn games, live music, and unlimited beer tastings by some of Brooklyn's top beer makers. Proceeds from the Beer and Bocce Benefit provide essential support for the garden's educational and community programs. Learn more about Brooklyn Botanic Garden at bbg.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey guys, it's August 2019. It's the 10th anniversary of Heritage Radio Network. Check us out and look at the Heritage Radio Network Hall of Fame. So much is going on. You can become a member now, heritageradionetwork.org. Okay, back to the Not My Prez collaboration, Interborough, and all these great beer bars. Caitlin from Interborough, you're just about to say something. She doesn't remember, but we're keep going, Joel. Come on. Give us that little intro again.
We're back. Not My Prez. 10 brands that all have representation for Dominican people, even Interborough, which drivers and people in the tap room are people of color and females, all came together to make this delicious dry hop Pilsner, which is this year clear and will be released this week in New York City in the five boroughs. Yes.
So let's talk. So other, like, so you're talking about cultural influences on beer. I like that you guys did the Vienna Lager for the winter. Are there any other beer styles that you might want to come up with besides fruited beer? So any other
things in the future? We're having several conversations. Like I said, we went easy with Interborough. We did lagers because we were really catering to, you know, bringing in the Dominican community, which all doesn't just drink lagers. But we made fruited IPAs with KCBC and Fifth Hammer. We made a Kolsch with Barrier. We're working on a sour with Highway Manor. And we're also talking to Gun Hill about a collaboration. I was talking to Dave because he was like, why haven't we done anything? Like, we're all advocates of the Bronx. So that might be a sour or Berliner. I mean, a stout or a Berliner Weiss. We don't want to give too much details because you know how it is in New York City. I'll say something and I'll make it tomorrow. So keep your eyes peeled for those two, and those will be 9 by the end of 2019.
Great. So, Matt, you know, you're the Uptown Beer Society. I respect what you guys do.
Thanks.
Tell us more about the vision for this community you're building, and is there any connection to London?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now we're still pretty much grassroots in New York City. We have a nice, decent like fan base, loyal followers here in New York. I actually moved to London, and I'm looking to kind of bring the mission along with me over there, because as fantastic as their beer culture is and beer scene is, there does lack a lot of diversity, and it looks like New York craft beer did maybe about 10 years ago. So I'm hoping to be maybe the stimulus for change over there.
Are you working in a bar or a brewery over there? What are you doing?
At the moment I was working at Kill the Cat Beer, helping those guys out. They're really awesome. They do some of the best craft beer, one of the best craft beer stores and bars in London. Definitely check them out. They're awesome. At the moment I'm back here in New York working on getting a visa to stay over there permanently.
Great. And Kate, I want to ask, like, for Interborough, I mean, I still feel that I'm surprised that I love Gun Hill and Barrier, those guys, and KCBC. It's funny, you keep hearing the same names of breweries that are working on these types of collaborations. And to me, they get it. Like they get it. Who wants to talk more about the breweries that get it?
It's interesting. A lot of us come from the same places, especially like Joel comes from SKI, and a lot of alumni in the beer industry right now come from SKI.
Yeah, we do an event every year called The Grass is Greener. It was at Top Hops because Kevin was the specialty brand rep from SKI. And it's incredible to see how many, like, reps from us, because they hire everybody. They hire women. They hire people of color, all type of people of color, Black, Hispanic, Indian, Asian. SKI stands for Spanish, Korean, Italian. So they've hired all type of people, which have then just moved around in the industry. So, like, we're talking about literally almost even Interborough, Matt Bowie, SKI, Darnell, SKI. Like, so many people are just in the industry. So we do this dope event every year where we all come together and tap all our brands and have a good time.
Well, cheers, guys. What's the next beer you just poured, Mickey?
Still Not My Prez. We're working our way through it.
There's a lot of that, Caitlin. Thank you for bringing a whole case. Okay, let's say, where can we get the Not My Prez? So it's August. You're going to be able to get Not My Prez in cans and kegs?
Yes, kegs.
Interborough also do some shandy too with the same liquid. So
yeah, we did a limited batch of shandy. So a Caribbean shandy with guava, passion, and tamarinds. It's a mix of the juices and the Pilsner we made, and a few bars will get it, mostly us.
Harlem Hops is going to be hosting
very limited.
Harlem Hops will be hosting a beer can /keg on tap event on Thursday. There's going to be live sounds by Sum Total and Rose Arrow. There's, you know, stuff on tap. The Not My Prez is going to be available in cans there. And that's this coming Thursday. So people can come out and enjoy, you know, this amazing beer uptown.
And then, yeah, give me the lineup. Yeah, I want to hear all the Friday, bars that have
Friday will be the release at the sampler, Wajibarito Shack, which is Puerto Rican Dominican, but he makes plantain sandwiches, so he's going to do a nice Dominican menu. Matt will be bartending alongside Brittany. I'll be at Fresh Fest, the second annual all-black brewery festival in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, put together by Black Brew Culture. Garrett Oliver will be there. It'll be a three-day festivity with the black representation in beer. And me and Robin from Kicks and Kegs and her girlfriend will be driving up for the fest.
All right. And what about this beer? Not My Prez. Where is it? Where else can we get it?
Well, Taproom 307, we're obviously going to have it as well. We're on 23rd and 3rd in Kipps Bay. 307 is the address, 307 3rd Avenue. Yeah, so come by and get some. We got cans and kegs.
Chris, you got it at Beer Wax, right?
We'll definitely have it at Beer Wax. We'll have plenty of cans, and we'll have it probably on tap for the next week or so.
And Juan?
We're going to have it on 177M between Broadway and Fort Washington, and also 180 and Broadway. So we're going to have plenty. So, holla. And also, you know, Locksmith is not here, but it's going to be also 190.
Yeah, Locksmith not is too probably close from us. Going to be next Tuesday. Bronx Beer Hall will probably be this weekend. So just follow us, you know, on social media.
And Caitlin, any other spots that will have this beer?
The brewery.
So actually, it's a collaboration, but I can still go to Edinburgh and get the beer too?
Yeah, it's on draft and we have some cans. It's mostly going to be at the Nine Bars. I know Joel had a few other people reach out to him, and it's only a 30-barrel batch, so once you divide that nine ways, plus to us, it's...
I believe Treadwell Park will have it.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out to Amber.
Yeah, so Amber Sarah's a huge mentor and friend to me, so I wanted her to get the exclusivity and maybe like Carmine Street Beers and Craft Culture, like other POC bars and stuff like that.
I want to just one last question for everybody. I mean, what I love about this group is that you guys are a lot of small independent businesses. What does it mean to you as New York, you know, industry people, the value of independent beer bars, the value of independent small businesses? I know some of you have a lot to say about it, so let's finish up with that.
Well, it's a huge risk, especially, you know, for all of us. I mean, usually these independent beer bars are not really funded by anybody with huge funds, so small capital to flip. And also, we invest a lot into our beer. Like, other POC bars in New York, they go with $40, $60 half barrels. We're going with $200 to $300 half barrels, which is an advocacy of how much we care about the liquid. And even for the people that do retail that are POC owned, is having
people of color.
Yeah, people of color. Thousands and thousands of dollars in inventory on the shelves, in the fridge, on tap. So it's a big risk and more of a financial situation to invest in specialty independent craft beer than it is to...
It's hard. I mean, you see a lineup of even like 50 beers on a bottle list. That's a lot of inventory.
And not only that, we give a lot of respect to those people that drink those beer in our community, especially the minority, when we spend a lot of money on tickle glass. Those glass is not as cheap. Those glass is expensive. So, like, we pull automatic technology glass to pour the right beer, and people experience the floral, you know, smelling and the flavor, you know, on those
tickle
glass.
Tickle glass is expensive.
Right. So, I think... Yeah. What also is important is that there is even a black-owned business that's serving craft beer in Harlem, in Uptown, because it's something that's viewed as so taboo and kind of obscure in that community because we haven't been exposed to those flavors. Well, we've been exposed to them, but through, you know, 40s, Old English, you know, Pilsner styles, lagers, things of that sort. But there's not... there's not as much bars that you would expect that serve this style of beer or can introduce these new flavors to the community. So places like Harlem Hops and Bar 180 and Bar 177, providing these things to Uptown is, you know, in and of itself something that enlightens the community, because you have flavors that we're all familiar with, which is what I've been, you know, saying from the get, that we can provide to the community. So it's us providing a vibe with the space that we have and how we curate that space, but also providing flavor to the community.
Yeah, I know. We at the Sampler, we spend a lot of time curating a beer menu that's not just full of all the hyped up beers that, you know, are available. Unfortunately, a lot of like the beer culture is hype, you know, culture. And we spend our time going through inventory lists and really picking breweries and beers out that may not necessarily get the light of day in a lot of spaces. So it's important to support your local beer shops and beer stores and try different breweries and different brands and give other breweries and brands a shot that you normally wouldn't.
Let's keep talking, but someone pour us the Innisborough IPA.
Too. Yeah, it's about also people forget a lot of that. We discussed that we were going to talk about these topics. So really quick before we go. The founding fathers of beer, I'm talking about Dogfish, Brooklyn, Sierra Nevada, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are being pigeonholed into being called shelfies, right? And it's so disrespectful that these breweries took risks 10, 20 years before anybody thought it was cool, right? And it came with distribution and the reps, most of the reps being from SKI and from Manhattan Beer and all these, you know, all these other distributors in New York being actual like people of color that are pushing beer to bodegas because, you know, they can communicate to stride. Like brands like Founders, regardless of what happened, they hired two Dominicans in New York who are following up. And so when you see brands in supermarkets and delis and bars and you're like, oh, that's a shelfie. No, that's a rep busting his ass trying to get his brand in every single corner. The more you see a brand is the more hard work that is being put in New York. And for especially coming from people that do not support any bars in New York, they get packages in their mail, is disrespectful to the people that take risk in buying inventory and tapping specialty craft beer and not being supported. Yes, trading is awesome. Please get beer from outside of New York, get beer from around the world, but also go to your bottle shop, go to your local bar that sells beer to go and add that to the four pack that you're sending to Joe in Missouri, because you are supporting Joe and Great Notion and Trillium and Treehouse, and you're forgetting about all the Vermont breweries that are in New York, like Lost Nation. And guess what's going to happen when they don't have enough CEs to be successful? They're going to pull out of the New York market, guys. They're not going to send good beer. They're going to, why do you think Bissell is only sending three styles right now? Is because no one is, you have to support whatever comes into New York, the bottle shops and the bars that take the risk. Yes, trade. Yes, stand on lines, but also come to the bars and the stores that are taking the risk.
If it goes to a legitimate distributor and a retail shop, you know it's fresh and in good condition.
Yeah, one thing we always try and do at Tap Room is, you know, try and support local, try and, you know, go through a lot of self-distributing people. And it's a task sometimes, you know. We have 40 rotating draft lines and 50 bottles. It's a lot to keep track of, but, you know, we try and do our best to make it happen.
We're going to have to wrap it up, but there's one last beer. Caitlin, what is this really good IPA?
This is You're All I Need Galaxy. I brought this just because it's really good, and I think you guys should try it. We have a series of single hop double IPAs, and this is the Galaxy version. It's super tropical, lots of pineapple. It's delicious.
I want to thank you guys once again. I'm always been inspired by this crew that Joelle and Matt put together of independent beer bars. Congratulations, you guys all have the Good Beer Seal, and you've revived it and reinvigorated it because you're community-based, you're independent, and you guys really care about beer, so thank you.
Also, shout-out to everybody around the globe doing this. Black brew culture, beer culture with a K, Crown and Hops, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So many people of color all around. Shout-outs to Maritz in London. All around the globe are really trying to diversify beer, so shout-outs to everybody doing this.
Great. So everyone just say their name and where they're from, and we're going to sign out.
I just wanted to say... everything that we do is working, because when you see a big company, we don't want to mention the name, but you see this, all logger, and bring a beer collaboration with a big company.
Presidente and Brewpoint collaboration.
Like, you know, like, they copy our idea, and, you know, and that's why we keep going, you know, like, doesn't matter how people spread themselves.
Last comments? Anybody? All right. Wrap it up. Let's go around the room. Everybody say their name and where they're working.
What's up? This is Alex from Harlem Hops, bartender and social media manager there. So come visit me.
This is Joel Suarez, many jobs at the Sampler BK and Uptown Beer Society.
This is Matt Negron, Uptown Beer Society and the Sampler BK.
And the place in London?
And Kill the Cat. Go check those guys out.
They're London, awesome. UK.
It's Mickey Alexander, the buyer and bar manager for Taproom 307.
Chris Maestro, founder and owner of Beer Wax.
He's the maestro.
This is Papi Juan, manager of Bar 177, operation on Bar 180.
And a bar that's on the rise. Thank you, Juan, once again.
And Caitlin LaLoupe from Interborough Spirits and Ales.
Well, it's been another great show, you guys. It's August 2019. Thank you so much. Check it out. Not my prez. Juan.
Dry hot pills. Que lo que? Por mi gente. Ya tu sabes una vaina bien.
Thank you for joining us here on the Heritage Radio Network. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.